Hi, Flock. It's really great to join you today. I'm so pleased that Tamara Heumann will be joining us again and speaking just to the flock. If you didn't catch her interview, you absolutely have to. So go back and listen to that. And Tamara, I found your interview, of course, so moving because of the incredible work that you and others are doing to care about animals in a situation where people are being so horribly abused in so many extraordinary ways. And I found your interview really hopeful. The fact that you felt that people were open to thinking about these issues, and not only in spite of the fact that the war is going on, but maybe in some ways because of, I mean, the witnessing of violence and exploitation, it's really kind of a bright note to take out of a horrible situation. I'm curious a little bit about your past and how this all started for you. I understand that you went from being a model to being in charge of this animal advocacy organization. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey, how it all happened?
I was born in Kyiv, in Ukraine. I lived here all my life. But in 2015, I went to the United States of America to do modeling there. That year, I found the undercover footage of Animal Farm. And by that time, I was already pescatarian. I was not eating meat, but I was eating the flesh, fish and dairy and pork. Why? I can't answer even now, like why I ate and continued to eat those products. And I found that undercover footage and I was so shocked, and it was a pig farm, pig slaughterhouse. I didn't eat those animals. I was so shocked that we do this to them because I have never seen the footage. I started just learning more, Googling, and you know, I found a lot of articles. And that's the first time I think I kind of read what veganism means, because I heard of veganism before, but I never paid attention to it. And so I stopped on the trailer of Earthlings. And that was the last drop to my glass. I was crying. I was screaming. I couldn't believe we do this to animals. I was so shocked. Like, I kind of like put off my pink glasses on this world, and I became vegan on that evening right away. I looked at my refrigerator. I saw a lot of cheese, a lot of now. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna eat this. I looked in my wardrobe. I had a lot of leather shoes. Like, I had parka down inside. I was like, okay, I'm going to figure out what to do with this. And of course, like everything I had was non-vegan. But I already knew that I don't know how long it may take, but I definitely will move to the fully vegan lifestyle. Even I didn't know exactly what should I eat, what should I wear, but I was so shocked. And I was just like, I don't want to be the part of this awful industries. I don't want to pay money for this, not even 1 cent, like nothing. I would not be the part of this anymore. And next day I wake up as a vegan already and just start reading everything, watching more videos, watching more documentaries. And I think it took like 2 weeks for me to figure out everything, and another a year maybe to take off all clothing, and because I thought, of course, that it would be not actually like super ecological to just throw it away and buy new stuff. I just let all my clothing to be ready to be given away or something like that. And when I need to buy something new, it's always more vegan from that day.
That story really resonates with me. And I've often thought that if we could just get people to watch Earthlings, that would solve everything, because everyone who watches Earthlings goes vegan that day. It's like the impact is just staggering. The problem is we can't get people to face up to the facts. But when we do, the facts really speak for themselves, don't they? I read somewhere that when you were in the States, you ran across Direct Action Everywhere and you found their work inspiring. But then I also read that it didn't translate directly into what you felt was right for Ukraine. Did I read that correctly? And can you talk a little bit about that?
The Direct Action Everywhere was the first organization I found out at all. Like, it wasn't just the first organization I joined. And that's why, like, I was so happy to find other vegans, other activists, because I didn't know anyone except my husband. So we were just together, but I wanted to know more. Also, I went to the DXC Forum in California, and that was the time when I said to myself, okay, we have to do something like this in Ukraine. And because I was going back and forward from US to Ukraine, when I came back to Ukraine, I found the only vegan I knew in Ukraine. I didn't know this person even in life. I just knew that she's vegan. And I said, let's do this together. Let's start a vegan organization. It was a part of DXC. But the DXC approach was something that we were not feeling right for Ukraine, because people don't know about veganism, anything, and they don't know about what's happening with animals in different industries. And they don't care and they don't think. So they are not educated about what's going on. Just felt that it would be effective to ask them for something, or like just to disrupt without giving solution or information. So we found that education was our way to go. And we started doing the screenings and also street actions as well, but more with talks, like where we talk about what's happening in animal agriculture. And then also I discovered for myself Anonymous for the Voiceless, and we started doing cubes in Ukraine. And we were really afraid of that, because we were thinking that we're going to be beaten by random people because of what we were showing. But it went really well, and many people were curious on what's happening and what we're showing.
For those who aren't that familiar with it, can you tell people about what the Cube of Truth is and how it works and why you were so nervous?
So Cube of Truth is the street action where activists stand with the screens or notebooks or laptops or TV screens. And on these screens, there are video footage of undercover footage from animal farms from all over the world. Bystanders, they approach the activists and watch the video. And then outreachers, those who activists with the cube, they start talking with the bystander and ask if they want to know more, and basically do our vegan outreach. We were afraid in Ukraine that people just would be aggressive to us just because we were had stereotypes that we're going to be beaten by any reason. But it went well. Many people were curious, as I said, and interested in veganism. And we found kind of this way of activity useful and effective. So we started doing cubes, and came with every week cube. So every Sunday, we were meeting with the activists and doing the cube on the main street. And we did like big cubes. Many activists from other cities came to Kyiv, and we did like big cubes. So like 50 activists inside the cube. So it was huge. But then I don't want to go, you know, deep in that Anonymous situation, but there was kind of suspicious situation with the Anonymous, and we decided that we can go by ourselves and do just what we think is right for Ukraine, for us, and stay with our own organization. By the time we were doing cubes, we already found every animal. So every animal was registered as a Ukrainian nonprofit. And aside the cubes, we were already doing lectures, screenings, different other events, educational events, and street outreach. But we decided that we can do street outreach without being a part of the bigger foreign group. We moved from cubes to our Open Your Eyes, which has a similar idea, but we just look different. We don't have masks on our faces. And now we have just the piece of the material on our eyes. It's symbolic, meaning that open your eyes and we stand as we are blind. and meaning that people don't see what's happening with the animals because it's hiding from us and we are as blind to, we don't see this. So it's kind of symbolic interpretation.
It sounds really powerful. I'm glad to hear that you've had success with it. Your story reminds me so much of a story I heard from Dash Meisler, who's an activist in Uganda. As you can imagine, vegan advocacy is not widespread in Uganda. And he and a few friends tried doing a cube of truth at a mall, and they immediately got arrested. So much worse outcome, but kind of the same lesson he learned, that we have to do it the way that works in our country. And this isn't what works in our country. Like, and, you know, he started doing other things like providing vegan meals in schools where kids were not being provided with school lunches. And so, you know, he found the Ugandan way. And it sounds like your problems weren't quite as dramatic in doing the Cube of Truth, but you also decided to find the Ukrainian way forward. I think it's so valuable for everybody to do that. And then for us all to listen to each other, to get ideas of what might cross cultures and awareness of what doesn't cross cultures. One other thing I wanted to talk to you about, which I didn't mention on the main interview, was I know that almost all of the other interviews I've done with Eastern European organizations, they all seem to be aligned with the Open Wing Alliance, which is basically a very strong program advocating for cage-free eggs. They're vegan organizations. They do vegan advocacy, but they're also advocating for cage-free eggs. You don't seem to advocate for welfare reforms at all. I'm just wondering, has that been a decision that you've made in the way you want to go forward? Or how did that come about?
From the very beginning, when I was starting my own activism, I thought that I want to see all animals free and liberated. And from the very beginning, the idea of doing like this welfare reforms and laws didn't seem for me that this aligns with my view on activism or on my way of this. Because I don't want to say that this is like non-effective or this is not has to be done. I would not say this. It's just not the way I go. It doesn't feel right for me. All volunteers and activists I had around me, we were all same with the same idea. For us, it's fine. So let's say like this. When we talk to 100 people, of course, if you say them, go flexitarian or go vegetarian or like just limit the amount of meat eaten, you probably got the bigger number of this from this 100 people, like maybe 50% will like, yeah, maybe I will go with the Meatless Monday. And if you say like go vegan for this 100 people, it would be good if one person goes, maybe not even one. But the thing is that this one person, let's say this one person go vegan. And from this person, like all our friends and family members from this person will know about veganism. And this person, of course, all vegans will spread the vegan message in his or her own way. And if this vegan go active, it would be even more. And the main idea that these 100 people already know that veganism exists and animal exploitation is bad, even if they don't change. Right now, they already got the idea. And going back to that flexitarian message, our Meatless Monday, maybe this 50% go with the Meatless Monday, but we don't know if they got the ethics idea and what they will do in a few years. Maybe they just go back because how you found the limitation of meat. Maybe this Monday you are meatless, next Monday you forget about this. So it seems for me like not really fundamental. The long story short, so we want to play in long-term game and spread the idea that animals are not ours to use, to wear, to use in any way, and that you can go vegan. And this is the fundamentals, and every person will get this and go with feel of their own way. But if we spread the message that, oh, this exploitation is fine, just let it be better. For me, it feels like we say it's okay to eat animals, just let's do it better. But I understand this as well.
Yeah, I really love the way you put that. And I also think it's important to remember that if we encourage people to go vegan, a lot of them might go vegetarian or flexitarian, or loads of them probably will. Like, people have agency just because we didn't give them this specific message that they can go flexitarian. It doesn't mean that they won't figure that out if that's where they are right now. But at the same time, while we're encouraging people to go vegan, we will reach that one person who actually will go vegan. And as you say, one vegan person in the world can do so much because they can reach so many people with that message. And the message is just not the same if people don't understand it fully. So I love the way you put it.
You mentioned a really good thing as well. When we say go vegan, it doesn't mean that this person won't go like flexitarian or vegetarian. Many actually do, because they might feel like, oh, vegan is maybe not now, but they feel, okay, vegetarian. So we put the kind of the push to the goal at the end, and people just go where they're ready to go right now. But if we say, like, just go here, so we don't show the full, like, length or, like, the full idea.
So, exactly.
Yeah, and for all our members, because we are all vegans, and I know that the welfare organization, they're also, maybe everyone is vegan as well. For us, we want to spread the fundamentals and to build this idea that they have own personalities. They are just here with us, not for us. And if we just, you know, go with this and tell again and again and again, animals are not for us to use, they're not our products or resources. In future or in result, people get this idea, like, that animals are not our to use. And this is what we believe and what we work with, and we want to spread the vegan message and show people that they can't go vegan, like, right now. But if they don't want to go right now, it's their choice. But we want to explain and show everything that they can go right now, and then they can have their own decision. But we have to make clear that veganism is the way to help animals, planet, and people. And you can do it right now. You don't have to wait a year or half a year or 10 years or 20 years. You can do it today, make a change today.
Yeah, and you've proven that you can even do it in a war zone. So incredibly powerful work you're doing. Tamara, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's really been inspiring.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me to talk to you and talk about veganism. Yeah, even during the hard times, it's possible to be vegan and to spread the vegan message and to care about animals and care about humans.